Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
He inspires small business.
We can teach these barbarians a lesson in Western methods and efficiency that will put them to shame.
He tells it like it is.
I realize how difficult it's going to be in this godforsaken place where you can't find what you need. And there's the challenge.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
With all due respect, sir, I believe this is going to be our finest hour.
We're back. 34 after. Thanks for hanging around with us today. My website is www.jbsba.com. Don't forget to subscribe to our free newsletter. When you get there, and if you want to ask a question that I or one of our Brain Trust members will answer for you, ask Jim at jbsba.com. Tim Berry is our guest and our good friend and an original member of our Brain Trust, and we've got some good things to talk about with him. He always helps us get ourselves our business plan in a lot better shape. He's the president and the founder of Palo Alto Software. They're the folks who make a Business Plan Pro, and he's our good friend. Tim, welcome back to the show.
Oh, it's very nice to be back talking to you, Jeff.
It's good to have you back, Tim, as always. Tim, one of the things that I want to talk about today is one of the main things I want to talk about is the idea of looking at our plan not so much from the growth standpoint, not so much from the product standpoint, not so much from the financial standpoint, not so much from the human standpoint, but from the standpoint of technology. How is it currently weaving its way through our business model? And what could we do to increase the evidence of technology, but only to the degree that it helps us seek efficiencies, helps us create excellence, and an advantage for the customer? Can you talk about that with us today?
Oh, I think that's for real. We're seeing so much change, so much of it for the better, that we don't even realize. We take it for granted now because we are a generation that's been living with this change for, the last 15 years?
Mm-hmm.
Not that there wasn't change in the past, but the things we take for granted now in terms of customer, how do you feel when you can't get to the website when you're curious about a company that you want to buy from? Isn't it frustrating?
Mm-hmm.
Why don't they have this on the web? In general, I think so much that we take for granted can make a difference. But looking at the plan, that would imply that, there are those standard components of the plan, the summary, the company, what you sell, market, strategy, management team, and financial, that we could actually look at each one and see how they might be a clue to where we're using technology and why we're using technology, and maybe why not too, right?
Well, exactly. No, that's exactly right. And what I'd like to do is encourage people to take the major components of your business. Personnel, accounting, purchasing, inventory management, customer delivery. Customer service, sales, all the different components of your business, and write down all of the elements of technology. And Tim, couldn't we include in the technology, just to get a picture of what's going on, couldn't we include a ballpoint pen? My point is if your sales force, if the most technology your sales force is using, if you have ballpoint pen, then you say, and if you say, okay, how much is technology is our sales force using, and you can't find any evidence of them using a computer or using any kind of a contact management or anything like that, then maybe all they have is ballpoint pen. So maybe that dramatizes where an opportunity is. What do you think?
Absolutely. In that case, well, before we even get rolling, as soon as you mention the topic, one of the things that comes to my mind quickly is the care and feeding and proper use of the business plan
mm-hmm.
has changed enormously over the 30 years that I've been involved with it because of technology. And it really changes how one uses the business plan. Not that that's the only thing to talk about. But as we get started, when I started with this, business plans were developed with typewriters, calculators, and a yellow pad for the numbers, and then you put it all together.
Mm-hmm.
Nowadays, when the world is doing the business plan on the computer and keeping it on the computer, it's more changeable. It's more alive. It's more a frequent companion
in the
business.
It's dynamic.
Yes, it's alive. It's a business plan is reviewed easily every month, easily, because, boom, here's the numbers, here's the different whatever. Mm-hmm. And that didn't used to be true.
Because you didn't have the technology available to keep it dynamic. Stand by, Tim. We're going to come back to this, folks, right after these messages. We've got more to come with our good friend Tim Berry, 2012. Stay with us.
It's raining in the park meantime. Sound of the river, you stop and you hold everything. A band is blowing Dixie, double...
We're back at 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thanks for hanging around with us. Thanks for staying with us. Let me remind you, coming up in the show straight ahead, Jeffrey Zavar is going to be with us. We're talking about home-based business issues. Pierce and Jane Howard are going to join us, and they'll be talking to us about how personality affects the way we do our business, and especially those who work with us. And then we'll have Bill Brandt with us to talk to us about some national economic issues, and looking forward to getting all those folks on the show. Tim Berry is our guest. He's founder of Palo Alto Software, the folks who make Business Plan Pro. And Tim, why don't you give us your website, please?
www.bplans.com.
And that's the one where Palo Alto Software gives back to you and me, folks. That's the one, bplans.com. That's the one where you can't buy anything. You can only go there to learn stuff. And there is a link to where you can go buy something from there. But it's, what do you got? How many dozen business plans have you got up on that site, Tim?
There's actually 5 dozen complete sample business plans that you can read start to finish with appendices right there on that website and for free.
So if you want to go and see what a business plan looks like, you might be able to find one. Even if it's not exactly what you do, it could be one that's, you know, should be one there that's fairly close.
Good point, Jim, that there you don't find the business plan that you can use. People want to see what a business plan looks like, and you're not looking for one that's exactly like yours. You're looking for one that will give you an example of what a good business plan contains, and then
right.
You do your own.
Exactly. And so check that out, folks, at bplans.com. We're talking about technology, how to use technology, and how to build it into your plan. Tim, one of the things I've been encouraging people to do for some time now, and so perhaps you could say that I've contributed to the slow job recovery, because I've been saying to small business owners, do what we should be doing, what our big business competitors and neighbors and partners are doing. We should be finding technology to do a lot of the jobs that people used to do, and then find the technology first, and then hire the people to manage the technology. I mean, that's the way of the 21st century, and people might
that
be saying...
That is the way our economy has changed, isn't it?
It is, and see, people can say to me, well, you know, you shouldn't be saying things like that. That costs people jobs. Well, you know what? I didn't make the tide. I just have to live with the reality of the tide. I didn't make the wind. You know, I can't do anything about the wind. All I can do is deal with the reality of the wind. And I didn't create the situation we've got right now. With regard to jobs and technology, and this is a global phenomenon, folks. All I can do is deal with the reality of it. And the reality is that we need to be focusing on how we can use technology in every element of our business model, which is identified in our business plan, to use technology to find efficiencies.
I think the related reality that you're getting to is the business has to serve its customers if it's going to survive for the long term. You
That's
need
right.
to give people what they want. This reminds me of kind of a debate I had half a generation ago. I was a vice president of a market researching company and was charged with projecting the increase of ATMs in the United States. In 1979, there were just a few ATMs. They were pioneers. This was just a new idea happening. And I was watching a very involved debate in which the vast majority of bankers were saying ATMs will never work because people don't want to trust their money to a machine.
Mm-hmm.
The other side of that debate in 1979 was saying ATMs are convenient and people want convenience. Well, mm-hmm. What is it, 25 years later, it's very clear that the side of convenience, people will use them because they help them, was the right side. The bankers who thought people would never deal with machines were wrong.
Well, what they
and
also,
I think that's a lesson.
What they also got confused about, I think, was, yeah, maybe people won't make deposits in an ATM, but they'll sure take money out of an ATM. They might not put money in an ATM, which you can do, but they sure take it out of ATMs. I think that's the key.
And people, the customers, want to be able to stop and get cash, and the machine or person of it isn't a factor, really. If there were a person standing on the corner of the shopping center with a bunch of cash, you'd probably go to that person and get
That's
it.
Right.
It's convenient for the customer, and technology helped it.
Well, but the point I think of the ATM is that I've been also pointing out, though, this is the second part of me saying we should leverage technology, but the cardinal sin of small business technology is when you make a customer touch your technology without there being something in it for them.
Exactly.
So as you said a minute ago, if there's a bank teller standing 3 feet away from an ATM and you tell people to go to the ATM first, well, that's not a good plan. But if the ATM is outside of the office and when the bank teller's gone home, you can still get to your money, that's good technology for your customers. And so use the ATM metaphor, folks, in your own applications. Whatever it is that you're doing, use that same metaphor for that. Only let customers touch your technology when there's something in it for them.
Now, we have a perfect example of that in technical support in the whole software industry. It turns out that many people would rather get their answers through email than have to dial and call a person. We think because of the 24-hoursness of it and the way they like to deal with it, that's technology that the customers choose because it's convenient for them. And
well, one of the reasons they also choose it, unfortunately, Tim, is they don't want to be on hold for 20 minutes waiting on the next available operator, which will be here any second. Stand by. 10 till. We're going to take a quick break. We've got more to come with our good friend Tim Berry right after these messages. Tim is the author of Hurdle, the book on business planning. We're back at 7 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. We're talking with Tim Berry about technology and your business plan. Tim, what are some other things that we need to be focusing on when we look at the components, all the different components of our business plan? What are some other things that we need to look at from a technology standpoint and look at ways to leverage technology to seek efficiencies and drop a little more black numbers on the bottom line?
I think the first place it comes up probably as you stroll through a plan with your eyes is in the marketing in general, the target market, the where is the market, how do we find out about our market, how do we reach our market. Obviously, that has changed enormously because of the Internet, all of that. And the technology of research is different. And the people who your business can affect are a different group because of that. And simple things like we were just chatting in the beginning of this show, I'm disappointed now, even if it's a lawyer or an accountant, if I can't go to the web and get some information.
Mm-hmm.
All of that is number one. You mentioned personnel. Well, we go through the plan, the company, what you sell. I think we've talked about that, and people can see that, can't they, how
mm-hmm.
technology changes what you sell, right?
Mm-hmm.
What if you're a travel agent? I mean, you can think of it there, but then market. Your strategy, what I see about sort of the mechanics, the administration of strategy changing with technology is that easy reference to how we're going. Budgets, for example, used to be something that we did slowly and painfully, and therefore we didn't do budgets very often. Nowadays, budgets, even in a small company, are all over, and they're worked all the time, and numbers are worked all the time, in part because it's easy. Here's one that we see in, a small company as in 35 people. You know the IM technology.
Right.
It's like pager and messenger and all of that. We find by standardizing on one IM in an office with 35 people, we have all kinds of efficiencies in just popping web pages back and forth and telling people that, oh, well, we can't. There's all kinds of instant communications in an office that save going back and forth and whatever that happens.
What if you're in a sales call? You're about to go into a sales call. You're in the office and you just learned something that you need a piece of information, and you IM. You're able to IM your office on your BlackBerry or your Palm or whatever, and they get back with you and they give you a critical piece of information seconds before you walk into the office.
Yeah,
I mean, what kind of a strategic advantage could that be?
Well, what's interesting about technology now is I've seen the progress of competitive advantage becomes potentially defensive because it becomes taken for granted.
Mm-hmm.
When I started years ago, I became good at spreadsheets and this numeric analysis. In the beginning, when I was going through business school, my understanding of spreadsheets was a huge competitive advantage because nobody else did. It was
right.
That early in that cycle. Soon after that, in a matter of, say, 5 years, everybody understood that you could generate thousands of numbers with spreadsheets. Competitive advantage was lost, and it became, like, required.
It was basic. It was the baseline.
You weren't gaining competitive advantage if you had it. You were losing competitive advantage if you didn't.
And that's the story that I think small business owners need to understand right now with regard to technology. And that's the point that I think is so important to make right now, is that it's not a matter of whether technology is valid. It's a matter of whether you're valid, because technology has already been validated.
Mm-hmm.
We're in multiple third, fourth, fifth generations of a lot of technology that small business owners ought to be using, and yet still many people are resisting it, and it's. It's a mistake because you're not going to be competitive.
Meanwhile, the expectations march on, right? The desktop publishing was new and different in 1985. As a small business, I could use desktop publishing to my advantage
exactly.
And look bigger.
And I did.
Nowadays,
too.
If I don't do desktop publishing, I look smaller.
That's right.
See, it's changed the way that the expectations are. And it does have an interesting effect on technology being an advantage first and then a disadvantage later if you don't have it. So
right.
it doesn't put you ahead of the field. It's what everybody expects.
Tim, give us your website one more time.
www.bplans, like business plans, bplans.com.
Tim Berry, president and the founder of Palo Alto Software, one of our great partners. Thank you, Tim, for being here today. Good job, as always.
Oh, thank you very much for the invitation.
We look forward to our next visit already. Tim Berry, ladies and gentlemen, couldn't do without him. We wouldn't do without him. I got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners, and every member of the military, wherever you are around the world, standing a post on our behalf. God bless you. God be with you. We are very proud of you. This is Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. This program is for you.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.